Welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this fifth day of December 2020. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, listening to the recording. I'm so happy to have you in fellowship with us on this beautiful Sabbath day. And before we get into our study book, it's time for opening prayer, and please bow your heads and knees with me. And precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you're in control of all things and for the comfort and the peace and the rest that this truth gives us. Help us indeed to lay all of our burdens at the feet of our Savior. And thank you, Savior, for taking all of these and bringing about the best possible outcome and solving of these burdens. Please remove from us worry and anxiety and help us indeed to have that internal peace that grants us rest in your love for us, knowing that whatever you allow is for our best interest with eternity in mind, and that you are indeed our loving Father. Please continue to be with us, and Spirit, please open our understanding to behold wondrous things out of the word of inspiration today. Increase our ability to spot the precious gems of truth, the spiritual insights that we need in order to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Savior and the present truth. And thank you indeed for quickening and bringing alive our mental faculties to behold the truth and to understand it, especially as it applies to ourselves. Help us to avoid the tendency to understand the truth as applying to others and not to ourselves. Help us avoid pointing the finger at others and ignoring its application to ourselves. Help us indeed to be earnest in examining ourselves whether we are in the faith or not. And thank you, Spirit, for also being a reprover of our sins, of our errors, of our misunderstandings, and of the lack of following the truth. And please don't stop, but indeed convict us of our sins and of the path of righteousness we should be following, and that it is the time of judgment. Be with those who are unable to attend our service today. Please grant them a wonderful Sabbath and bring them back in fellowship with us soon. Thank you so very much for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I pray you're all having a blessed and wonderful Sabbath day. And we're continuing in our study book, The Desire of Ages. And this is chapter 77, entitled, In Pilate's Judgment Hall. And last time we ended right at the bottom of page 731 to the paragraph that started out, Here Pilate showed his weakness. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Christ had been before Herod, and Herod demanded to be entertained, and Christ, of course, refused to entertain him. And so Herod sent him back to Pilate. And when he came before Pilate, Pilate was a bit uneasy because he was hoping Herod would deal with the deciding factor there, and Herod didn't. So Pilate then told the Jews, look, Christ is innocent. I find no fault in him at all. And of course, the Jews were making a ruckus and the mob was becoming very vocal. And Pilate then said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll whip him, but I'm going to let him go because he's innocent. Now, does that make much sense? If someone is innocent, should he be treated as guilty? But that's what Pilate did, because the mob was causing a ruckus. So you can see that Pilate was trying to please Jesus by calling him innocent and releasing him. But he was also trying to please the people by whipping Christ. So he compromised justice. What Herod should have done, or not, what Pilate should have done was commanded the Jews to be quiet, and if they continued, to then punish them. But he didn't do that. So that's where we ended last time, and now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. Here, Pilate showed his weakness. He had declared that Jesus was innocent, yet he was willing for him to be scourged to pacify his accusers. He would sacrifice justice and principle in order to compromise with the mob. This placed him at a disadvantage. The crowd presumed upon his indecision and clamored the more for the life of the prisoner. If at first Pilate had stood firm, refusing to condemn a man whom he found guiltless, he would have broken the fatal chain that was to bind him in remorse and guilt as long as he lived. Had he carried out his convictions of right, the Jews would not have presumed to dictate to him. Christ would have been put to death, but the guilt would not have rested upon Pilate. But Pilate had taken step after step in the violation of his conscience. He had excused himself from judging with justice and equity, and he now found himself almost helpless in the hands of the priests and rulers. His wavering and indecision proved his ruin. It's exactly what Christ had mentioned. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, because Pilate wanted to please the people instead of standing against them for justice and equity, the people recognized his weakness and then pushed with more force upon Pilate to carry out the death sentence that they wanted. And the same thing will happen with us, dear ones. If we compromise for the sake of our loved ones, our relatives, our friends, our church family, for our community or state or country, if we sacrifice even a portion of the truth for the sake of peace with others, then we are also going to be led step by step into committing a sin that will keep us out of the heavenly kingdom. Truth is truth. If you stand with the truth, then you're safe. If you compromise what you know to be truth for whatever reason, then you're on a slippery slope that will lead you to the very brink of the cliff to fall off to destruction. Any questions or comments on this paragraph? Amen. Compromise does open the door for more persecution. Perhaps not to yourself, but to others that have been affected by your compromise. Very true. And amen. Amen. Quotation from Great Controversy, page 45. If unity could be secured only by the compromise of truth and righteousness, then let there be difference and even war. So here you can see that a judge deciding the fate of, in this case it was Christ, but you can put Christian there, can be influenced by a mob to decide opposite of justice. And so, for those who find it hard that the courts of America or other countries can decide against those that are conscientiously following a thus saith the Lord or an it is written, here we have evidence that it has already occurred and will continue to occur to the end of time. So Pilate said he would whip Christ and then release him. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Even now, Pilate was not left to act blindly. A message from God warned him from the deed he was about to commit. In answer to Christ's prayer, the wife of Pilate had been visited by an angel from heaven, and in a dream, she had beheld the Savior and conversed with him. Pilate's wife was not a Jew, but as she looked upon Jesus in her dream, she had no doubt of his character or mission. She knew him to be the Prince of God. She saw him on trial in the judgment hall. She saw the hands tightly bound as the hands of a criminal. She saw Herod and his soldiers doing their dreadful work. She heard the priests and rulers filled with envy and malice, madly accusing. She heard the words, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die." She saw Pilate give Jesus to the scourging after he had declared, "I find no fault in him." She heard the condemnation pronounced by Pilate and saw him give Christ up to his murderers. She saw the cross uplifted on Calvary. She saw the earth wrapped in darkness and heard the mysterious cry, "It is finished." Still another scene met her gaze. She saw Christ seated upon the great white cloud, while the earth reeled in space and his murderers fled from the presence of his glory. With a cry of horror, she awoke and at once wrote to Pilate words of warning.
What a dream she had. It was actually a vision. Now, Pilate's wife was not a Christian. She may have been curious and even influenced to believe Christ to be, you know, here the Prince of God. So she knew he was connected with God. But God even sent a vision in a dream to Pilate's wife. And this was in answer to Christ's prayer. So Pilate was willing to compromise truth, but Christ prayed that Pilate might be kept from committing the sin that would lead to his destruction. So Christ was pleading with God to work upon the heart of his judge. And God then sent a message to the wife of Pilate, revealing to her the future. And then she immediately sent a message to her husband, so we may think we're all alone, and yet we're not all alone. God is already working to bring about the completion of his perfect will, and that is to seek and to save the lost. But Christ was praying for God to intervene. Now, Christ was going to die on the cross. If it wasn't from Pilate, it would be from someone else in authority. But Christ desired Pilate to be saved. So when you find yourselves standing before judges and courts of the land, when you find yourself being accused wrongly of heinous crimes, evil and malicious motives, our prayers should also include those that are committing those sins or about to commit those sins. Not just for ourselves, Lord, please deliver me from the strife of tongues, you know, but praying for those that are guilty. And God will hear and answer that prayer because it's not a selfish prayer. It's a prayer for others to be saved. He'll speedily answer that, even if he has to send a vision to the wife or partner or friend of the one doing wrong to try and wake them up. It's quite amazing. But that shows you the love of God. He's unwilling that any should perish, but instead come to the truth. But he will not force them to change. He'll just give them all the evidence they need in order to change. But they still have to make the decision. So even as Christ is facing his condemnation, he's praying that Pilate will not be the one to condemn him. And that's merciful love. Any other thoughts or comments?
I have a testimony, and very similar to what happened to Pilate's wife. In my job, the last job that I left, I had a boss that she wasn't that nice, and I had an obligation, not only as a Christian, but to always try my best to be able to represent Christ in the different circumstances that was happening at my job. And I went home and I started to ask the Lord, Father, I know that we have the Sabbath to be able to do, and it was a lot of people that was coming to the house to view all of the videos, you know, like, you know, when whenever we had to send tithes and things like that, we used to get videos from Elder Rob, and I used to get also from other independent ministry that was giving the third angel's message. And we had to examine everything to see if everything was going accordingly. So I just had like a little room. I was living in a little room, and it was getting crowded. I didn't have no chair or anything like that, but the people were willing to sit down in the carpet. And as it was increasing, I asked the Lord, it's going to be difficult for me to do so. I already finished all my job on Thursday. So I was just going in just to open the door and I guess feed the cat, because I was just sitting there and didn't know why I was there, and there was so much things then that I needed to do. But she was pretty mean. So I asked the Lord, I pray, and I say, Father, is it possible that you can be able to let it happen for me to dedicate that last day, which is Friday, to be able to allow more people to get the third angel's message, because it was coming and I couldn't really handle it, trying to run back and do things at the house. So the Lord impressed me to go and tell my boss, that I have a job, and if I had to make a decision between her job and his job, I would have had to quit. So I said, you want me to tell my boss what you just said? Because, you know, I was thinking, I'm going to get fired, because it's like, well, but I had to do it by faith. So when I go in the morning, I was kind of a little nervous, but, you know, the Lord has been merciful to me for a long time, so I couldn't just leave and start having faith. So when I walked in and I went and sit down, I saw my boss coming out of her room. She just ran and she said, Rosie? And then I said, yes. She said, oh my God, I thought you quit. And then I said, quit? I don't understand. He said, I had a dream that you quit. And then I said, really? She said, Rosie, I really don't want you to quit. You know, you have been such a blessing to me and stuff like that. And I started to realize too that I'm going to increase your pay. And you know, I was coming to do what the Lord was saying, but because of being obedient, that's when I sat down and I said, well, Shauna, since you're talking to me about this, I would like to ask you, since I finished my work on Thursday and I'm just coming in to open the door, I'm not sure why I'm coming in. I don't know if to feed the cat. She said, no, no, don't worry about it. Don't come on Friday. You finish on Thursday, you could go on Friday. I was working in Wall Street, and I had a lot of work in Wall Street, and I wasn't even getting paid enough. Do you know that the Lord was paying me for 4 days, $500 a week, and I wasn't even getting that in Wall Street? So I was saying, Lord, I'm going to try to be as obedient as possible, because I was just thinking, how am I going to go and tell my boss, well, if I have to make a decision between your job and God's job, his job is first. So I told her that besides the job that I had with her, I had like a little, a gathering in my house, and it was becoming difficult for me because people was coming and I had to take the videotape. I used to have two VCR. While one was playing, the other one was recording, and as the people were leaving, they were able to get the material. You never know how you're going to get them back. Sometimes you see only 1 week and then you don't know what happened to them. So I was being impressed to be able to dedicate more towards the Lord's job than my secular job. But I'm so grateful that even though I did so, the Lord did reward me to continue doing the work, and I was able to help out other people as well. I just wanted to share that testimony.
Amen. Amen. Another comment says, God controls everything. Indeed. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
What a blessing to recognize that God is in control And he is alive and he does understand and he is love.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Dick.
Okay. Years ago when we were truck driving, it was agreed when we took the job that we would have Sabbaths off. Twice during our 15 years driving for Southern Refrigerated Transport, we had different dispatchers, not our normal dispatcher, but somebody else say, you got to go and pick up this load Sabbath. That's all there is to it. You have to do it. And I explained that we had had an agreement with Tony that we would not be working on Sabbath. And if he had changed his mind, that the dispatcher should route us back to the yard and we would bring them the keys because we weren't going to work on Sabbath. Well, that dispatcher wasn't our normal dispatcher, so it really didn't come to a showdown, but our normal dispatcher went out of her way to make sure we could keep Sabbath, and we appreciated that.
Amen, and blessed Sabbath, everyone. And I praise the Lord for the testimonies, and I always say, you know, if you are obedient to God, he will always, always take care of you and listen to that still small voice. And the only way to be able to distinguish that still small voice that it is his is if you have a personal relationship with God. As I've maybe shared many times, my dad always used to say to us, get up. Have your personal time with the Lord in the morning. And so now I just feel the last days that we're in, and I see how he's been moving in a mighty way. And I'd like to praise the Lord for Brother Horn coming and sharing Sabbath service with us here, and my mom, and
amen. And welcome, dear brother. Glad you're able to fellowship with us today, and we hope to have you fellowship with us in the future. And, you know, God is revealing that he's in control. And when we come to him in faith and we ask him to intervene in a situation, if he sees it's for his glory, he will definitely intervene, and he will arrange circumstances to where it is accomplished according to his will. Here we see that Christ asked his Father for basically a miracle to work upon the heart of Pilate, and God sent a vision to his wife, to where his wife would be another witness to Pilate. The Spirit was already working on Pilate's heart, but here God intervened and allowed another to come that Pilate trusted. In answer to Sister Rose's plea for help, God sent a dream to her boss that arranged that circumstance, touched her heart in such a way that Rose was able to have every Friday off so that she didn't have to rush around and get things prepared for the Sabbath. What a merciful God we serve, dear one. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he will indeed work in your situation as well. But according as he sees is necessary.
Just to add to that testimony, the other part was that when I was working in Wall Street and I wanted to be able to do more for the Lord, I wanted to leave Manhattan. And that was another prayer that I had. And that job that I've just spoke about, the Lord found me the job 2 blocks away from where I live. That's what I wanted to say also. I didn't have to take the subway. I didn't have to go to Manhattan or anything like that. So it was walking distance. That was also another testimony concerning. And another testimony, when my sister had lost her husband when she died, and I didn't know how I was going to get to be able to be there for her, because she was in North Carolina and I was here in New York. And anytime when there's situation with tragedies and stuff like that, the Lord always seems to have a way how we can be able to communicate. As I was sitting in the house and I was praying and I was asking the Lord how I can be able to be of help, my sister was sitting in the car praying, waiting to get strength so she can be able to go into the, what do you call that place where they have the funeral home. And as she was sitting in the car praying, that was the moment that the Lord had moved for me to call. And when we was calling, she was saying, you know, that how difficult it was. I was able to pray with her and to be able to encourage her for her to do that very difficult movement at that moment. So I'm so grateful that the Lord knows all our hearts. He knows our circumstances. And it's the Holy Spirit that always moves for us to be there, especially when we need them the most. And I'm so grateful that it doesn't matter where my families are scattered, the Lord always find a way to be able to allow us to be there. Some is difficult, but still, I believe that time, experience, and the work that God does in the heart has a lot to do. And it's better not to force, because when you force, you just make the hole bigger. But when you allow God to do it, it's going to be like sometimes you even wonder what just happened, but the Lord is the one who's in control of all things, and I'm so grateful that He is our God.
I have to tell you a story about a Sabbath. The job that I used to work, the manager changed the days of work to make Saturday just another regular day. And I was going to be required to work on Saturday. And so I called for a meeting with the owner of the company and my boss. And in this meeting, I told them that Saturday was a special day. It was God's special day, and that I would work any other day but Saturday. I would come in and work on Sunday if needed. And I said from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday is God's special day. The owner of the company was Jewish, and he understood sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And he said to me, "Are you a Seventh-day Adventist?" And I was at the time. And I said, "Yes, I am." And he turned to my boss and he said, "You let her work any day she wants, and you let her go to work the next day." And praise God that this man was Jewish and understood there wasn't any more arguing. It was just done. And praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Another answer to prayer. And, you know, God promises them that honor me, I will honor. So if we put the Lord first, He'll take care of what happens next. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be taken care of. That's God's promise. And we can hold Him to it because God doesn't lie. So amen. Wonderful testimonies. Anyone else would like to give a testimony or have a thought they'd like to share? Please feel free.
I would like to also, and I think I've shared this so many times, gratefully so, at the beginning of my walk, as many of you could remember, I was so very hungry for the message, the word, and I also had to work sometimes 6 days, sometimes 7 days a week, depending on the end of the month. And one of the stipulations for the position that I was in at that time was to be able to work on a Saturday. You have to work on a Saturday. And being that, like, I'm a manager, sometimes when other people call out, I would have to be there maybe more than one or two Saturdays a month. And I would make the schedule, and I would have to be fair to everyone. But I was struggling because this is when I just got the conviction about the Sabbath, about, you know, six days shall thou labor, but the seventh day is out. And I was like, oh, man, it's a requirement. This is one of the reasons why we even got the job, because we said that we would work on the Saturdays, on weekends. And also we would have to work some nights as well, starting a later shift, kind of like 12 to 8. And I would sit there and I would think, I wouldn't say anything to anybody, but it was a struggle within myself as well to be able to say, like, how am I going to do this? And as I was struggling with it, and I was going to talk to my boss about it also and say, hey, so is there any way that I cannot work on a Saturday? They didn't know me to be a Sabbath worshiper before then, so how am I going to introduce this and say, hey, I, you know, started down this path and so on and so forth. So it was a difficult conversation all around. And I was there for a couple of weeks, and it was stewing with me. And as I was about to bring up the conversation, a meeting was called. And in that meeting, it was said that we were not going to work on weekends anymore. And I almost fell out of my chair. I was just like, why not? You know? But I was like, why? Thank you, Jesus. I'm not even going to ask. Forget that I asked, why not? But not even understanding that was God in his mercy answering the very prayer to what was it that I needed that, because that was like, I was so hungry to know. And it made me realize that when the Lord calls you and when the Lord have his hand in something, there is nothing that can stop the blessing or the plan that he has for you. And ever since then, I made it my point of duty for the Lord to give me that blessing. I'm not going to shy away. I'm not going to do anything. And it was customary in my culture. We get up, everything was done on a Saturday. The laundry, cleaning the house, going to the grocery shopping. Everything was an adjustment. So everything, once the Lord made the provision for that, everything ceased. There was no business transactions. There was no, it was an adjustment for every, well, just my son and I, who was very young when I accepted the faith, which in itself was a whole nother thing. But by the grace of God, he even made a way that things started falling into place. And it was just by the little faith that I had, because it wasn't big at the time, but it was the little faith that I had and the yearning, the earned up to want to be able to do what is right by the grace of God. And I am so grateful for that. Up until this day, I laugh at that story when I hear other people. I'm like, yes, I can identify with that story because it has happened to me as well. And praise the Lord.
Happy Sabbath to everyone. I have an experience when I came here in America in 1986 about the Sabbath. You know, we were not like born Adventists. We just converted. I was like 5 years old in the Philippines. And the old ministers taught us that Sabbath is a special day. So on Sabbath, no more bathing and no more cooking. And that was the teaching that we got, you know. First impression is lasting. So in our mind, we prepare everything before the Sabbath. And no bathing and no cooking on the Sabbath. Now, I finished in Adventist Academy and also Adventist College. And then the Lord sent me to be a missionary to the forest, the jungle, to help, you know, the indigenous people. Then the Lord sent me again to work in United Nations in the refugee camp, the Indo-Chinese refugee, the Vietnamese, Cambodia, and the Laotian. I was a church pastor right there, and at the same time, working in United Nations as an director of agro-food production. So I have like a major in agronomy, minor in animal science. Now, when I came to America, you know, I don't know everything. I don't know everything about America. The refugee came here, the Vietnamese, the Cambodian, the Laotian, and they welcomed me right here in the church. So the first time you have to do is to look for a job. So somebody told me, my cousin, hey, come over here in a medical laboratory. And there's a lot of work. What's that? Like a courier. Okay, picking up specimens, clinics, hospitals. And then I said, okay, how about the Sabbath? He said, oh, okay, but sometimes there is like a staff pick emergency because the patient is right in the hospital ready for surgery. So you have to do it. I said, no, I cannot. No, it's a medical mission, you know, because my cousin is a Seventh-day Adventist too. So we can do like a, we can work on Sabbath because it's a medical line. And I was also a member of the Hollydale Church in Los Angeles. And the wife is a nurse. And during, in the afternoon, the Sabbath afternoon, she go to work and she said, I'm on duty. She said, she did not say I'm working, but I'm duty. And there was also an ordained minister work on Sabbath as a security guard in the afternoon. I said, hey, pastor, where are you going? Oh, I have a duty. I said, wow. Now, time will come. Time came that there was no cell phone before. It was like a beeper. When there's an emergency, my beeper like vibrate or like a sound. So I put a vibration so that there will be no sound inside the church. So I went out and said, hey, can you please pick up? You know, the patient is in the hospital and the doctor want to know the blood, the urine, the stool, whatever, you know. And it was like the second service on Sabbath. I said, well, okay, it's a medical missionary, so I went there, but I was so guilty, you know. So I planned to look for another job because three times my wife also working in that laboratory as medical technologist. So three times I said no more. So I went out in the medical laboratory and get a Class A license. And I was driving also in a public bus in Los Angeles area. And I was free on Sabbath, Friday more. But time come that my faith was tested. So tested by God or Satan, whatever. So they called me to work on Sabbath. I said, no, I cannot. Even you fire me, it's okay. So three times they tested me to work, but they said no. But Celedonio, remember, your salary came from the tax people, you know, so you have to work. It's an emergency, like the earthquake, the fire. and during the Rodney King, you know, riot in Los Angeles. So I didn't know, I cannot. So that's the time my wife and I planned to have like, to buy a truck, like a commercial truck as owner operator. And now I said, Lord, help me, you know. So since 1990, from 1986 to 1990, I'm driving a Class A, a commercial truck, because I want to serve the Lord. I want to honor the Sabbath. And this is my testimony this morning.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. And again, those who honor God, who put him first, he will honor and take care of them. But you're right. It is a test of faith. God allows the testing, just like he allowed here with Pilate. Pilate was being tested whether he was going to make his decision based on truth and equity, justice, or whether he was going to compromise. Now, it's interesting here. God didn't send the dream to Pilate himself. He allowed the dream to come to Pilate's wife. So Pilate was being tested, not just as being a judge or a governor of that area, but also what he was going to do with those whom he trusted counseling him to do right. So God was using Pilate's wife basically as a missionary to Pilate. So God can use anyone whom he sees fit to reach us. God is not limited just to deal with us ourselves, but he can work upon the hearts of others to come to us to help us. So we have to allow God that freedom. I remember a sister came to one of my meetings, and she listened to all the messages. She agreed with all the messages except the issue of leaving the church. And her comment to me, she came up to me afterwards, and she goes, you know, God gave me a dream that led me to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And since God gave me a dream to join, God is going to have to give me a dream to leave. So she was basically boxing God in to where she was forcing God to reach her by a dream, whereas God was already reaching her through the message of truth. So we need to allow God the freedom to use whoever he sees is the best to reach us. And again, we're being tested on what we're going to do with the truth, no matter who that message of truth might come from. Perhaps it's a track we pick up. Perhaps it's a book we read. Perhaps it's a friend or a loved one. But the Spirit is working. So let us allow God the freedom to use whoever he wants to use as a messenger, and not refuse the messenger just because it comes in a way that we don't like or don't expect or doesn't answer our prayers.
Brother Rob, if I can, I have a question. With that being said, because so many people pray and the answers do come in a way that they don't expect, and it's not that, it may not be that that's not what they're looking for, but in their minds, they have thought it to be a certain way. How, like, there's a saying, like, there was a person on the housetop or the house and it was flooding and someone came with a boat. And then that, the boat, he didn't accept the boat. Someone came with something else and he didn't accept it. And he basically ended up perishing because this was the way of God. But they're looking for something, I don't know, but how do you not miss that it is God? If that question makes sense to you, how do you know that it is from God that these things are coming to you? You know, you don't want to like do something based on your own impulses, but how does one know?
That's an excellent question, dear sister, and it depends on how willing you are to allow God freedom to answer your prayer in however he answers it. For instance, an individual was praying for God to increase his faith. And his expectations were he'd wake up one morning and he'd have an increase of faith. But God allowed various trials and tribulations to come to him. And he looked upon these trials and tribulations from the aspect, God, I prayed for an increase of faith. Why are you bringing trouble to me? God was trying to increase his faith through the tribulations. If he would have looked to the Lord, trusted in God, expected help from God, the tribulations would have been taken care of by God, and now his faith is that much more increased. So we have to allow God the freedom to answer our prayers according to his will and ways. So that man needed to go to God and say, Lord, are these tribulations something that you've allowed? And then, of course, the Spirit would have impressed him. Yes, these trials and tribulations are a direct answer to your prayer so that your faith can be increased. So it, you know, when you've asked God for help and then things happen that you don't understand, go to God and ask him to open your understanding, because it may be a direct answer to your prayer, but you won't recognize it because it's coming in such a way you didn't expect.
I have a testimony going along with that. So I injured my back at work, and my bills have fallen behind because I was trying to let my back rest a little bit. And with me having to do that, I'm having to go through workers' comp. So I don't really know too much about workers' comp. I just heard stories about them taking forever to issue out the checks to be able to pay, to help people pay back their bills. So I'm like, okay. So I said, Lord, my bills need to be paid, and I can't sit here and wait for workers' comp to do what they need to do, because it's going to put me back into a bind that I had just got out of. So I go to therapy, and my therapist was telling me that she was afraid that she's going to end up losing her job because a different company has taken over the company that she's working for now. So I'm listening to her, and for some reason, you know, I found it that we're able to aid others easily, but don't take our own advice. So she was telling, after I was able to assist her in what she was going through, she came back at me, and she was like, you need to just take it easy, and you need to trust God too. I said, I do. That's why I'm not, you know, going crazy right now. I said, but I do have a problem with my job adding me to the schedule. She was like, well, maybe that's God's way of you getting your bills paid. I said, why would the Lord put me to go work all these shifts knowing that my back is hurting? She was like, maybe you should just trust God too. Maybe that's his way of making sure that your bills get paid. So she said, don't doubt the process. I said, okay. So my bills got paid and I was able to work, and he gave me shifts to where I didn't have to do anything. Just sit there and watch one person for 12 hours. And I was like, yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord indeed. Brother Willington, you like to share something, brother?
Yes, it's just an experience also that I went through, and that we are also going through in Africa, especially with those that are going around proclaiming the word of God. I want to agree with, is it brother or sister Yeye, who mentioned, who quoted Isaiah 8 verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. That is one way which I believe will guide us to the truth. The Spirit of God will help us to know whether this is the truth that the Lord has brought for my life or not, using the truth that we know. If this person who is bringing the message is able to respect the Ten Commandments of God, and of course the prophecies which are written in the Bible by the prophecies, by the prophets, and also if one, for example, is coming from the angle of the SDA, you would hear one quoting from the Spirit of prophecy. Then you combine, by God's grace, the Spirit to open and tell you to say this is the truth. I remember when we received this separation message, when Seventh-day Adventist, we started studying the three angels message. From there, we were sent by this group in which we were to go and, we were called in a far distance, about 800 kilometers from where I stay, where the message we were studying was heard in that place. And then that church company called us to go and present the same message. When we were trying to learn with them, with Brother Eddie, when we were explaining the truth that we knew about the three angels' message, after finishing, the whole church said, this is the truth. And later on, when it was in that place where we had found the books from Elder Bob Sensra, Let There Be Light Ministries, and when we collected these two booklets, A Transmutation of the Three Angels' Message and also The Golden Calf, when we were coming back home in the buses, reading, and we were shocked to find that the message was just increasing in our side, or to our side. And when we reached in our places, we were almost confused, studied, and wrote to Brother Sestra, sent more materials, and everyone's eyes was open now. And this is how these home churches and the messages have reached us. So I believe that to the law and to the testimony is a way and is a gate to open us to the truth. Thank you very much. That was my little contribution.
So I have a question. When I had a couple people, I've been bashed this week by people who believe in the universe. And these people come from like a church background. So they know the Bible a little bit and have steered off into believing in the universe. So being that we have to go, like Brother Wellington said, by the law to the testimony, how in the world, I don't even know, like, I just don't say anything because I don't want to, like, debate back and forth with these people or make anyone feel as if I'm this Bible-bashing person. So, like, I don't even know how to reach because these people are kind of knowledgeable, and they feel as if they have this spark, this extensive amount of light that they want to just share to the world. But I'm just like, well, if you don't even believe that certain people are wrong and everyone has their own perspective of, and I quote, perspective of how they view things, how in the world is what you're saying going to be a light if you don't even believe that something can be wrong? I don't know how to minister to these people without being Bible bashing, because technically they already know the Bible, and I don't want to be going back and forth with folks. So this is a new one for me. I know more about the church because I grew up in the church, but as far as the universe goes, I don't understand. The person that I spoke to this morning said that they believe in a higher source of power, grew up in the Baptist church, and parents are ministers in the church. So I asked, so what steered you off into believing into the universe? And he said knowledge and reading. And he said, not everything that you can believe, everything that you read is the truth, because the Bible has been changed so many times. So I said, so my question was, so what makes you think that what you're reading is the truth then? And he said, my reading, and the more I read, the more I find my truth. I said, okay, since we're going in, so I'm going to quote my truth. So what makes you think that your truth is the truth, to where the light that you're giving is a light? So I go back and forth just listening from what they're saying, but I don't want to get into, make it seem as if I'm like this horrible person. Just, I'm not trying to do that.
Oh, thank you, sister. And it's really difficult to be able to reach individuals who believe that they've found their own standard of right and wrong. And, you know, the devil came to Adam and Eve with the thought and the outright temptation that they can go ahead and delve into things that God has refused them permission to do, and believe that they found a higher type of knowledge. And so Adam and Eve did, and they didn't find a higher kind of knowledge. They found the knowledge of sin and wickedness. So when God in his word has said, avoid doing this, and you choose to go ahead and do it, then the devil is going to come to you and lead you to believe that you are increased in knowledge and understanding of the ancients, or of the vast universe, or the conscious mind, or whatever, you know. And so it is a deception. It's a deception that they chose. And so the only way to reach them is to reveal to them that there is a book of knowledge that has never made a mistake in prophecy. It has always been true. And that, of course, is God's word. So perhaps interest them in a prophecy that was given, you know, Daniel chapter 2, and then show them that this prophecy has been fulfilled all the way until the end part of it, in which we're living in right now. That will help them to recognize that God's word is the only true source of knowledge. And all these other so-called books of wisdom do not have God as its source, because they have proven themselves wrong. For instance, Jean Dixon, she claims to be a prophet, but she's only right about 80% of the time, or less. Well, if she was a true prophet, she'd be right 100% of the time. But she's not. Whereas the Bible has been 100% accurate in all of its prophecies. So that may be a way to reach them, is to lead them to understand that God's word is the truth. It has been fulfilled. It is currently being fulfilled. It will be fulfilled in the future. It has never made a mistake. But of course, that is a choice they have to make.
I started to feel as if I was talking to Satan, because he literally said that, I said, I'm only human, so I only know what the Lord has given me to know. And he said, so what makes you to believe that we're not just only human? He said, well, I'm not human. I am the spirit. I have the spirit that was with the spirit before the beginning of time. I was like, oh, here we go. I just let him talk. I was like, okay. Now I know where we're going. I know who I'm talking to now. So it was to me just a lot of confusion, because I did ask, I said, so what was the point of you believing in the universe, but yet you still tell me that you know that there is a higher power? So why believe in the lesser power that was created versus believing in the higher power? He didn't even answer that. It just went on to something else. I said, so you know that there is a God, and you said this yourself. He said, there's a creator. But instead of going to the creator, you're going to the creation. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. And a lot of time, individuals that were raised on the scriptures but then have chosen a different pathway, it's because they've read something in the scriptures that they don't want to follow. And, you know, Paul brings up that they loved light, or they loved darkness more than light. They wanted to serve the creature more than the creator, as Paul tells us in Romans 1. So there might be something that this individual has read in God's word that he doesn't want to follow. And because he's rejected that light, then darkness is enveloping him. And perhaps you may never be able to reach him, but you can sure pray for him.
You know, all of this started because last week you had mentioned God created light and not darkness. So I posted that on Facebook. And it went into a whole debate with this other young lady. And I was just like, honey, that is not what this is about. And I posted the scripture in Genesis to let her know that this is where I was coming from. But when I went and to see what I didn't understand what she was arguing with me about. So I went to her page, and she too believes in the universe. So my sister contacted me on the other end, and she told me that I need to minister to her and stop going back and forth with her. I said, well, I'm not going back and forth with her. She came over here and started all this stuff, and I'm not understanding why. So when I found out that she was into believing the universe, I started to see that she took what I said out of context. She said God created both light and darkness. And she was basically talking about how we have our darkest hour. We have troubled times. And I'm like, well, that's not what I was talking about. I clearly put the scripture and what I was talking about, but she still wanted to argue with me. And I was just like, okay. This is the second person with the universe. But this is new. The universe thing is new to me, so.
Yeah, it sounds like the old pagan concept of pantheism, where a god is in everything. But you struck a nerve when you posted that God only created light, because it is the foundational belief of paganism that you have to have darkness to coincide with the light so that you have equality. You have that circle of life, life and death, light and darkness, good and evil, that yin-yang concept.
Yeah,
and so with you coming out and declaring that God only created light, that cuts directly across the belief of all pagans. And 1 John 1:5 gives you another text you could actually post to back up what you said. 1 John 1:5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, of God, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all."
Rob, hi, this is Sabbath, everyone. I have a testimony, but it's like in Christina's question. Yesterday, I was at the salon, and there's a gentleman that usually come and cleans the floor for me and usually pick up the leaves and everything. So he came yesterday and he told me that he could come later on to finish it up. And I said, no, you cannot, because Sabbath is going down. It comes down very early in the winter. So he said, that is your Sabbath. That is not my Sabbath. My Sabbath is on Sunday. And I couldn't help it. But I told him, no, God said he created a day that he called it Sabbath. You cannot have Sabbath on Sunday. Then it won't be Sabbath. The word Sabbath is rest, abiding God. So it's not that day. It's God appointed a day. Oh, but I decided, okay, sir, you decided to do that? No problem. But you can't use my word. You can't use Sabbath. You could say that's your day of rest Sunday, and you could do other things with the Sunday, but you cannot call it Sabbath. Sabbath is Saturday. So we went back and forth, and then everybody was telling me, oh, Gina, that is mean, because everybody could decide what is their Sabbath. I said, you could say that you have a day of rest, and even if it was a day of rest, the Lord said, you shall do no work. So that word, Sabbath, has a condition. We said that Sunday is your Sabbath, but you're not abiding in the condition. The condition said, you shall not work, not your son, not a daughter, not a man's servant, and a maid's servant. And that's when everybody got quiet. And I just said, Lord, I said, Lord, please, just if I'm here doing ministering to people here, please help me that also certain words you cannot apply it in any way you want to apply it. Like Christina said, that she said God is light. There's no other way. So when she was trying to explain it, and people want to come with their own idea and their own notion, but there's no scripture, nothing to back it up. They're just going by what they feel. And that was my testimony. So I remember that when Christina was talking about the gentleman that she was trying to give the word to.
Brother Mike, that was my sister Gina. I am Sister Rose. That was Sister Gina that was speaking. Let us have a Brother Mike.
happy Sabbath. How are you? Today, we were having church with some of our friends. They both believe in the Sabbath, and I think that the Lord was really working with Melinda, because she was even understanding about Sister White, and really encouraged to read more of her books and that. But Liz, my other friend Liz, and she used to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Now she only believes in the Old Testament, and she told me to prove to her that there was Jesus and that he is our Savior, because she said the whole New Testament, I wasn't ready for this. She told me, brace myself, that the whole New Testament does not exist. I told her that we will come back to this because I'm getting all the scriptures ready to let her know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is our Savior. And that he is, the New Testament is also the Word of God. But she says, show me everything in the Old Testament. So I'm going to get ready for her when I talk to her again.
Amen. And we'll be keeping her in prayer as well. But you can go to Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There's prophecy about a son of God being born. And then Isaiah 45:22, where the son is speaking, saying, I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. So there's Isaiah 9:6 and 45:22. That plainly bring out that the Son of God is the Savior of the world. And that's in the Old Testament. But yet that's a favorite trick of the devil, to get people to ignore part of the scriptures, because his ultimate goal is to get them to ignore all of the scriptures. But he can't get them to ignore all the scriptures all at one time. So he starts with a part. And then the part grows until pretty soon they cast away the entire scripture. But we'll keep her in prayer, dear sister. And individuals like to follow scripture that they agree with. But when it comes to scriptures they don't agree with, they want to ignore them. For instance, about the Sabbath. They're willing to keep the Sabbath as God dictates, but they want to change the day. So they're willing to accept Sunday as the Sabbath and ignore those passages of scripture that deal with the seventh day, not Sunday being the Sabbath. Then you have other individuals that want to go along with eating clean meat, and they use those scriptures where God says you can eat, you know, certain fowls, certain animals, but they're unwilling to comply with the conditions of how you're to prepare that clean meat before you eat it. God says you're to drain it of all the blood, you're to cut off all the fat. Well, if you drain the meat of all the blood and take off all the fat, it no longer tastes good. So people go along with the scriptures that says, well, I can eat beef and I can eat lamb and I can eat duck and chickens and all this other flesh meat, but I'm not going to go along with how God says the food is to be prepared. So they want to pick and choose from God's word instead of keeping every word of God because it's the truth. And that is a test. Are we going to live up to every word of God? Are we going to follow the Lamb who is the truth whithersoever he leads us? Or are we going to say this far and no further? If we do, then we've made ourselves our own standard of right and wrong. And thus, we've rejected God and put ourselves in his place. Thereby, we have rejected the very first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. So everyone is going to be tested on whether they're going to follow God's word implicitly or whether they're only going to follow it to a point.
Brother Rob, very important that you said that, because if we don't prayerfully study for ourselves the word of God, we're going to be beguiled just like the devil beguiled Eve in the garden, taking the word of God as it is and interjecting in his own way, his own interpretation. But we have to go for ourselves, prayerfully sitting at the feet of God and prayerfully receiving and believing and accepting. We cannot just take it. That's why it says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And it's important to always remember that, because oftentimes when you hear someone coming to give you the gospel, they only know but this part. And sometimes they take one scripture and they run with it and interpret it. But if you don't understand something, as I have learned in studying the Bible, if you read something and you don't understand it, don't just put it away. Go a little deeper. Read the entire chapter instead of the one scripture. And if that still doesn't fill you, pray and ask the Lord. Because sometimes it is not the time for you to understand that particular scripture or verse or chapter. But if you really want to study, and I have tasted and I have seen that this is possible, that if you really want to know, and you have to put away all the preconceived ideas or notions, what you thought you know, what you have heard from your family, what you have heard from others, and go for yourself to really sit and sap and study. And then the Holy Spirit will touch you. It will impress you. It will show you. It will lead you. It will open, and you will be like, a light bulb has exploded in the mind. And and I can only speak this because this is what the Lord has done for me. This is what the Lord has done for me. I cannot employ folks enough. And I too, Sister Christina, have come across these people that you listen to them talk and it grinds my heart, Lord Jesus. And all I want to do is split their brains open and get them to understand. And I had come up across this so many times, but I had to sit back and said, the same way the Lord called me and showed me, I'm going to pray that the Lord call you and show you as well. Pray, pray, pray. Sometimes when you think that the little seed that you have planted or the little word that you have said and the little truth that you stand upon will sometimes convict the heart and have them say, but wait a minute, I didn't think about it this way. Let me go ahead. And when they go looking, God says, I got you. You come here to me and you sit right here. So don't give up. It is sometimes, as I gave that earlier, it's sometimes so hard because you want them to understand immediately. But I have learned you start off as a kindergartner and then you grow to a 12th grader. And when I started off as a kindergartner, I wanted to be in college, but the Lord says not so. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So be encouraged and know that God is good and he is in control.
Amen. Amen. And happy Sabbath, Brother Clifford. Would you like to share something?
Yes, happy Sabbath to all. Can you hear me? All right, good. I just want to say one thing. You see, we human beings, we are accustomed to shortcut. We like to shortcut in everything, right? So we don't like to go the long way. So coming out to the end of time, mankind is trying to look for a shortcut to heaven, right? They don't want to go the long way. They just forget about this, forget about that. We can make it. They're suggesting to us, to their fellow human beings that, okay, we can do this and we're going to make it to heaven because we're accustomed doing things the shortcut way. And God, getting to heaven is not a shortcut. We have to do what God says. Am I correct? That's it.
Amen. Excellent point, dear brother. And while you were saying that, it reminded me of an incident in Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, where Christian had come through the gate. And of course, we know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the gate that leads unto life eternal. But these other individuals climbed over the wall. So they didn't go through the process that God had arranged. They wanted to take a shortcut. And as you continue in that allegory of Pilgrim's Progress, everyone who climbed over the fence and did not come through the gate lost their way and were destroyed. So you're absolutely right, dear brother. We have to follow the pathway that God has designed if we want to make it to heaven. There is no shortcut. Christ is the only way, truth, and life. And if we think we can reach heaven by climbing up some other way, we're going to be lost and destroyed. So excellent point, brother. Dear ones, are there any other testimonies or last thoughts that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
Maybe one more testimony. I don't know whether I would say testimony or something that is coming up before us. Elder Bob Cesra knows very well. There's a brother Brother Oga in Uganda, in Burundi. After the communication, and Elder Bob had to send a reference or a communication line so that I could communicate to him. I did so. We started chatting, fortunately, by God's grace, through Messenger. We saw each other. And the brother is a pastor. He's leading a very big church. And he has photos for the family, for the church, and for the church members. Now the brother seems to be, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Elder Bob says, if I told you, I'd communicated to him, but from the experience of the photos and what he would say,
What he was saying is that I received a message from a brother in a different country in Africa, and I forwarded this brother's message to Brother Willington, and Willington was able to communicate with him, and the brother is very open to receiving the truth and is very willing for Brother Willington to communicate with him the truth. So go ahead, brother.
Sorry, there was a network breakdown. He sent an email to me saying that he wants us, when I say us, I mean the brethren from Zambia, to visit his church in Burundi so that we can go and share the truths that we have learned, especially those that he had found on the website for Let There Be Right Ministries, which includes the Sabbath message, separation message, and all the truths that we know. I was sharing it with the brother, Brother Edward, and then we are trying to arrange, by God's grace, that if it's possible, we may go the three of us, that is, Brother Eddie, myself, and then we want to invite Brother Kennedy from Namibia so that we team up. And then by God's grace, we are praying and we are on our knees that the Lord will find a way of how we shall fly to that place. We are still also making consultations with the freight transportations, prices. The moment every information is collected and all the preparation, we'll still send the whole information to Elder Brown's Bob Cesra so that you can perhaps dispatch it to other brethren and see if the Lord who allow it so that perhaps we can go and visit this church and then share the truth that we are sharing at present or that we have received with the brethren that side. So I just make a humble request that we continue praying for them and also pray for us and of course for everyone so that the Lord will open this door to go and communicate with the brethren there and learn together because this is their first time in that country to have someone who will be together with us so that they can learn the truth that we have. In Africa here, most of the African countries, we have this message of separation and home churches. But this is the only country that has come up for the first time and we praise God for this. May the Lord be with us and the Lord be with everyone that may support this work. Thank you very much. That's what I wanted to share with the brethren.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Go ahead, Brother Clifford.
Okay, I would just like to make one testimony. I am hoping to get rebaptized soon, but while I was in the world, like doing this worldly life, I was like only hoping that somebody would come and minister to me. I see the church, people going to church. I was praying in my heart that can these people just come and pray for me? Can these people just come and pray for me, you know? Because I know what I was doing is wrong, but I didn't have the courage to take myself to church. And I used to keep asking, can these people come and pray for me? And nobody never come. No, everybody just passing, going to church. Everybody just going every Saturday, maybe every Sunday. You don't care who, but you were hoping that somebody come and pray for you. So nobody come. But I want to thank God that I make my mind up and I went on my own. I went on my own and thank God that I get the courage now to keep on going. That's all. I want to remind our fellow brothers and sisters that it have people out there, they're dying to hear the word. You might see their lifestyle and you might say, oh, he's a sinner here. He's doing this. Sure, she's doing this. But in their heart, they're hoping that someday or somebody to come and minister them, tell them something good. But we're so busy going to church, we're not looking for them. So we kind of have to look in that direction because the sinners out there looking for us. They need us, but they're not coming to us. They want us to go to them. That is what I want to say. Thanks.
Amen. Excellent point, dear brother. And that's why when individuals in the olden days would go out and cast the seed into the field, they were not careful to plant one seed here and one seed there. They'd take a handful of seed and they'd throw it as far as they could to scatter that seed. And, you know, Christ had the parable about the seed landing in different places. And it was necessary for that seed in those places to have a chance to grow. So we are to sow beside all waters. We're to cast our bread upon the waters. Waters represent people. And the promise is, after many days, that bread will come back to you. So as we shed our light of truth upon everyone around us, not just those in church, as you mentioned, but everyone around us, that gives the seed a chance to grow in their heart soil. So amen, dear brother. Let us indeed sow beside all waters and not just specific groups. So amen. Well, dear ones, it's been a wonderful Sabbath school time and appreciated your comments and testimonies. It's been wonderful. But let's go ahead and have a closing prayer. And who would like to offer that prayer for us? And please feel free.
If we can all bow our heads and our hearts as we come boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come in the name of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our soon coming King, we know that we had a new sermon, Father Jesus, and we are waiting to be able to receive the manna from heaven. But this Sabbath, Father Jesus, with all the testimony, we need to hear the encouragement of what you have done in our lives, to see how you have performed, even in the quietness, because a lot of people don't know what it is that you have done in each of our individual life, Father Jesus. And this is the time that we need to be able to do so. Because sometimes the things that we may not realize, some people may go through it way before. And it's encouraging to know that they are not alone. For we are all men of like passion. And we all worship the same God. To see the wonders that you have performed, Father Jesus, in the little things as well as the great things, it's encouragement to know how much you love us. We just look towards Calvary, and that is enough to see. For a parent, it's very difficult to surrender our children, but to see that you had placed your Son, and your Son was willing also to do so for the sake of what they have loved. Father, we do not have the answer to anything. We are so grateful that we have wisdom from above to test the answers, the questions, the concern. We have a sure word, and that is the living word. It is not any book. It is a living book. It is a book that is as true as every generation, and it will forever be, for Christ is the living word. Father, help us to spend some time with thee. Help us that we may be able to grow in the grace that we should, not only for this time, not only for the time that we need to be able to share, but help us that we may taste to see that the word of God is good, not only is truth, but is the freedom from all the bondages that this world has created, fabricated, did whatever they wanted us to be able to remove from the very source of life. Father, may you bless from the smallest one to the oldest one. May you put the word of God in our mouth to speak to those that are weary, that are in the valley of decision, that are lost, not only from without, but also from within. The hardest thing to give the gospel is to your own. Just as when our Savior was here, that many of the wonders that they heard it from those that was abroad. The Lord said, a prophet is not known in his own home. But Father, we know that the word of God is true. And being that the word of God is the one that reached the heart and can convert, help us, dear Lord, that we may be able to stand in the safety of your living word. Be with each and every precious soul that is in this room. Extend it to all the missionaries that are in remote places of this world, Father Jesus, that need your guidance, your love, your support. For they had done the sacrifice, Father, to leave things to be able to do so. We thank you and we love you for being among us. Father, continue to hold us very close. Continue to give us the power to overcome. For we know we can do nothing without Jesus Christ that strengthens us. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our transgression. Father, be with all our family members, be with all our friends, even our enemies, Father, that they may have rest. Rest from the toils that the enemy has them to continue on being enslaved. For Christ came to die for every single individual, not one to be able to perish. Help us, dear Lord, to be able to do all that you have called us to do, and the things that we cannot control, to know that you are a faithful God. We thank you and we love you for being among us. Thank you for this blessed Sabbath rest. We love you, Lord. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Anna, thank you, dear sister. Well, thank you for your patience. We ran over in our service, but it was a very wonderful service. The Spirit was indeed among us. And so let us go ahead and take a 15-minute break and then return back here right around 20 after 12 Pacific or 20 after 3 Eastern for our main church service. So we'll see you in a little more than 15 minutes, a little less than 12 minutes. I mean, than 20 minutes. So we'll see you then, dear one.